far from Jesus I was perishing with cold. And the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his arms around me and he led me to his fold. Now I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Let me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Sky is always bright. 'Tis no place for glooming Christians to abide. For my soul is filled with music and my heart with great delight. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Let me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. And when this life is over and we reach the other shore and have safely crossed old Jordan, rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside my mansion's door. For I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Let me sing my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side.
Look here with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to look at one verse of scripture here. Verse number 13. Look what he said. These all died in faith. Now, he's making reference to the ones that he just spoke about, and he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, and all the patriarchs there. And that's who he's making reference to when he says these. He says, these all died in faith. Don't you notice he didn't say the faith? He said they died in faith. I believe that's significant because there's a lot of people that's going to die in the faith. And the fact that they're saved and on their way to heaven, but they're not being very faithful when they die. Amen? But I believe the way he worded this, and I don't want to try to pick things out that's not there and look at things that's not there, but it just seems kind of strange that he put thee in there. He didn't put thee in there. And he said, these all died in faith. That means they were practicing it when they died. He says right here, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And the first thing I want you to notice about this is the subject of this particular verse. Let's read it again. Verse number 13. These all died in the faith, and of course you know who he's talking about. Not having received the promises. Right there's the subject. The subject of this verse is the promises. So let's clarify. Let me take just a minute or two if I could. And let's clarify what the promises are. Now, let's do a little Bible calisthenics real quick. Look with me in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. Now verse 2 and 3, here's the promise. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now that's the first part of it. He's telling Abraham what he's going to do for him personally. He's telling Abraham what he's going to do for him and for his, and for the nation of Israel. Then he goes on in verse number 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. Now look right here. Here's the meat of the second part. And in thee shall all families of the earth. God said they'd be as the stars of the sky, amen, as the sand of the sea. He said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now look at chapter 15 with me, verse number 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed, notice that, singular. So shall thy seed, not seeds, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now look in Galatians with me, if you will, for just a minute. Look in Galatians chapter number 3. Now I'm not going to go through all of this, but I want to lay the foundation for this message tonight. And I want you to see that the subject of verse number 3 of our text is the promises. Now we just read the literal promise and the conversation that went on between God and Abraham, didn't we? But it goes much further than that conversation that took place between Abraham and God. This promise is found here in Galatians chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Now read with me. You don't have to read out loud, but read along with me. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Did you see what he said right there? Yes, them which are of faith are what? The same are the children of Abraham. What does that make you and me? The children of Abraham. Amen. Why? Because we're saved. We're the children of faith. Amen. We're of the faith. Let's keep reading. And the Scripture foreseeing, boy, that's key. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. How was Abraham saved? He heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. Just like every other human being ever had to hear it, amen? He heard the gospel, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You see where this thing's going? For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Here it is, verse 14. That ties this to the previous verses. That the blessing of Abraham, we just read the blessing of Abraham. It was a covenant. It was a promise that God gave to Abraham, wasn't it? Okay? That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. You see that? Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive, notice this, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen? He promised, you know what the promise was? The promise to Abraham was, I will provide redemption through your seed. That was the promise. I will provide redemption for mankind through your seed. What did he say in chapter 12, verse 3 of Genesis? He said, through your seed, the families, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know what that simply means? It means that everybody would have the opportunity to be saved. That is a blessing. Amen. That is a blessing and the mercy of God. Look what he said in verse 15 now. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed, notice that, singular, were not the promises made. Were the promises, I put not, I looked down. Were the, let me read it again. Not now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds. You see, God points that out too. That's how I knew it. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. That means there would be many ways of redemption. He said, not as many ways, not as many covenants, not as many promises. Now, we know there's many promises in the Word of God, but that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about specifically redemption. Amen? He said, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, look at this, which is Christ. So what's the promise? He promised Abraham that he was going to give Jesus to mankind through his seed. And that's exactly what God did. Amen? So, back to our text now. We've laid some of the groundwork here. Notice this. Back in our text. Verse number 13. I was looking at 12. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. He said, even though they had not received the promises, they still died in faith. How did they do that? They did that because they knew they died expecting, yes, sir, for God to honor His Word. He died, Abraham looked for the whole time since that conversation that God had with Abraham. Abraham spent the rest of his life looking for that redemption. Now, he knew it was going to be in God. He knew it was going to be in the Messiah. He had heard the gospel. He heard the gospel, and the gospel has always been the same. That Jesus Christ is going to come, He's going to die, He's going to raise again, and that's going to provide redemption. Amen. That's the gospel. It's always been the gospel, and it will always be the gospel. And Abraham knew that, and so he died looking for a Messiah, if you will, or a Redeemer, one that would come. He said, if I die, and when I die, I'm going to die trusting God. I've believed God, and it was counted unto me for righteousness. Amen. So he says right here, they all died in faith. They didn't give up. So not having received the promises. Now, I've said all of that to get to the next three points. I'm going to give you this and we'll go home. Look what he says. Having seen them afar off. Amen. Now they never did get to experience as far as, you may differ with me, and that's okay if you do. I would advise you to study your Bible. Abraham didn't have the Spirit of God living inside of him. He never experienced a feeling like we do. He never experienced that time and that hour when the Holy Ghost takes up residence inside of us. Now, if you don't agree with me, I wish you'd look at John chapter number 7 and read that sometime. It's very plain, very, very plain. So here we find out, he says, but having seen them afar off. Abraham did not see God literally, but he was living for someone that was way beyond him. Amen. He was looking forward, just like you and I look back, knowing that Jesus came, and that's where our faith is at. Abraham was looking forward. Amen.
Yeah.
And he was doing this. He was looking with spiritual vision. Amen. He was looking with a spiritual sight.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't living carnally.
Right.
He wasn't living and doing the things right here. Listen, his vision went beyond his tent.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He didn't go out there and say, you better tie that tent down a little tighter. We're going to have to leave tomorrow. No, he said, don't you drive them stakes down too far because we're not going to be here for very long. Amen. He said he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen? Matter of fact, if you back up in our text here, verse number 9, look what he said. By faith he sojourned. That means he traveled. He journeyed. Sojourned. He journeyed. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Listen, you know what that means? Everywhere Abraham went, he said, I don't belong here. It just don't feel like home. It just ain't home. It just don't feel right. Everywhere he went, he was a stranger in that land. Honestly, Brother Gary, I believe sometimes it would do us good. I know God's got everything set up like this, but I believe sometimes it would do us good if we all had to live out of RVs. And we all had to travel from place to place to place because it might keep us from being able to stick our tent stakes down so deep and get plowed in and around our homes. And everything that we do and whenever God wants to do something, we've got to check our calendar and make sure we don't have anything going around the house.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Whatever happened to put God first?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? That's what Abraham did. He had spiritual vision. That's what he said. He said he was looking and he saw afar off. He was looking beyond his own tent. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Brother Garrett, he wasn't looking for something that somebody else had built. He was looking for something that God Himself had built. He sojourned and he traveled in this life. And certainly all of us, that we're all traveling in this life, amen. But listen, we need to have our sights set on the Lord Jesus Christ and remember that, hey, we're going to heaven one of these days. Amen. Those of us that's been born again, that's been saved, hey, I want you to know something tonight. We've got something to look forward to. And we walk around in this life like there's nothing to it. Brother Gary, I wish you and I could preach on heaven more. I really do. But you know as well as I do, we don't get to do that, do we? I mean, we want to, but God won't let us. You know why He doesn't let us do that? A lot of times it's because God's got to deal with some other things in the church. He's got to deal with all these other things in people's lives. And rather than folk getting in the Word of God throughout the week and letting the Holy Ghost of God deal with their hearts about sin, they'll wait until Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night sometimes, and they'll wait for the man of God to have to get up and to start denouncing and rebuking sin. And what it ought to be is we ought to be in the Word of God all week long, letting the Holy Ghost of God dealing with our hearts. And then when we come to the house of God, we can just get fed from the Word of God. We can receive the Word of God, and we can talk about our home. Amen. I remember when I was in the military, and I'd travel. And I was doing pretty good about the first 2 or 3 weeks. But after about 2 or 3 weeks, boy, I started getting homesick. And the one thing that I didn't want to do was talk about it. Amen. You know why? Because it made me homesicker. Amen. It made it worse. Sitting in the memories and thinking about what mom and dad was doing back home and thinking about this and that and boy, what I used to do and all these things. Boy, it made me want to go home. Well, listen, in the Christian walk, We ought to be thinking about what we're going to do when we get there. Yes. You say, well, I don't know. Well, then why don't you get your nose in the book and find out what you're going to be doing?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. We spend so much time in a carnal world, amen. We spend so much time driving our stakes down so deep that then when God wants to bless us and open things up for us, He just can't do it because we're so wrapped up in all these other things.
Yes, sir.
Not Abraham. Well, not him, boy. He was saying, I'm going to follow God. I'm not saying he did everything right. I know he messed up and made some mistakes, but listen, his overall vision was to follow God. And I'm not saying that you've got to have a sinless perfection life. I'm just saying your vision ought to be for God. It ought to be beyond your tent stakes.
Yes,
it ought to be beyond my tent stakes.
Yeah.
This thing's a whole lot bigger than every one of us sitting in here tonight. I can promise you that. So he saw, notice that, the first part of this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. He had a spiritual vision. You remember what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him. Let me tell you something. They are spiritually discerned. You can't get in this Bible and understand anything with your flesh or your intellect. You're going to have to spend time with God in prayer. You're going to have to spend time with God in meditation. You're going to have to worship Him in spirit and in truth because that's what He desires. And when you begin to do that, the things in the Word of God will begin to open up to you because you're doing it through the spiritual realm now. You're not doing it through the intellect anymore. Amen. They say this thing's written on a ninth grade level. It may be even less than that. I don't know, but I'm just saying they some of the words I have to look up. But listen, I want you to know, he says right here that he had a spiritual vision. He had a spiritual sight, if you will. Listen, you can't understand the Word of God with this flesh. Hey, I want you to know something else. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. They're not going to coincide with one another. There's a constant warfare between the spirit and the flesh. So what we need to do is just go ahead and let the flesh die, amen, daily. We need to crucify. And I'm not talking about getting up and cutting your wrist and doing all that kind of stupid stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But you got to let this flesh die down, the fleshly desires and all that kind of stuff. Let that stuff die down, amen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Let me see if I can get this for you. Talking about spiritual vision. I'm going to move on. 2 Corinthians 4:18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where God wants every one of us.
Amen. Yeah.
What did Jesus do when he went to the cross? The whole time Jesus was on this earth, he was looking to the cross and beyond. He was always looking beyond the cross. Amen? He wasn't concerned with every little thing right here. Now, there was people around him. He'd take care of that. But listen, his vision and his sight was beyond. And our vision and our sight ought to be out there somewhere. We ought to be able to be beyond our tent stakes. He saw far off. Look what else. I like this one. Well, I like them all. He said, but having seen them afar off, now remember, what's the subject here? The promises. What's the promise? The redemption through Christ Jesus, through His seed, amen? In other words, he's looking at his salvation and the hope of salvation that he has, amen? And the redemption that God has provided and what God's doing for him, amen? And the fact that one of these days he's going to heaven, just to put it simply, amen? Look what he said right here. And were persuaded of them. He didn't just talk about them. He didn't just preach about them. He lived them.
Yeah.
They made a difference in his life.
Yeah.
Amen? He was persuaded by them.
Yeah.
He was persuaded by his salvation.
Amen.
Amen? He was persuaded. You know what that word persuaded means? I looked it up. Glad you asked. It means to convince. It means to assent to. It means to rely like by an inward certainty, if you're going to rely on something from within. It means to have confidence. Amen? That's what the word persuade means. And so how were they persuaded? They were persuaded by the promise that God had given. They were persuaded because they knew that God would live up to His Word.
Yes,
amen?
Amen.
You remember what the Apostle Paul said? 2 Timothy 1:12. Look at it with me if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. You're going to know this when we read it. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Was there any doubt in Paul's mind? He said, I know whom. He didn't say, I know in whom. He said, I know whom. There's a difference in that. He said, I know whom. That's personal.
When David gathered a handful of souls, and where the soldiers fallen, they waited along, but with a prayer and a little rock, that giant fell right on the spot. That's what David prayed for, and that's what David got. And you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. There was a woman drawing water from a well. She had so many regrets, so often she failed, but Jesus knew where she had been. Still He forgave her of her sin. In her life began to flow living water for the soul. And you can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. When you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, God of Abraham.